We were just having a conversation about supply management, and interesting conversation throughout the day. In fact, we chatted just a few moments ago with Sylvain Charlebois about this earlier in the afternoon. Jamie Bailey, who tells us that supply management is something that he supports and his party supports. Our next guest, will find out whether this is something that they think needs to change or not. And here to us this afternoon, and Happy New Year, Marco Navarro. Jeannie, good.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir. Real pleasure to be able to reconnect with you. Supply management, is that a topic, is that a subject that you've investigated or explored at all, sir?
Yes, this is something that we have looked at for a long time, and whether it's dairy or in other areas, because essentially the whole scheme, as your previous guest called it, essentially offers anti-market mechanisms. So, from the point of view of an institute like ours, which seeks to open up greater spaces and more freedom to markets, supply management is something that we've looked at several times.
The reason I thought was intriguing and worth reaching out to you, sir, is that, you know, hearing the conversation that we've got consolidation with the producers, with the companies or the processing part of this, and how many of the small dairies have gone away. So we're told that dairy farms are not very competitive. Well, are dairies not competitive because of this whole system?
Yes, that's right. At issue here is that there's three things that make it less competitive at the source. The prices are set, and so the mechanism that signals whether a product is good, it's got quality, it's got availability, and all that is pricing. But we also control the production, so we maintain a certain amount of milk in the market only, so that we can keep the same pricing. And then, of course, we contain imports, and so by containing imports, we also protect the market. What impacts on the ability to compete is exactly the fact that the prices are protected, and so. In a regular market, when one has to compete, one always looks to establish a certain kind of edge on the competition by increasing productivity, for example, by adapting better management policies, whether it's feed or the animals themselves or the way in which you manage the whole production, or seek to make your operation available of greater technologies to maximize your efficiencies. Given that you guarantee a certain price for the product, people aren't forced to try to maximize production and seek efficiencies. And so the notion is that the market grows complacent. And this is what your previous guest, Sylvain, was trying to point out, that in the presence of those conditions, if we open the floodgates all of a sudden to competition, the system would collapse. And this is a serious problem because that would essentially leave us at the mercy of foreign markets, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it would essentially decimate the dairy industry in our country.
He's the president of the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies, Marco Navarro Jeannie, our guest here this afternoon. Supply management, protectionism, prices that are set by regulation. We have regulation on other industry, but if you look at the fishing industry, lobsters specifically, the number of traps are licensed and registered. Why are we worried about quota when we're talking about the amount of milk? And again, it comes back to that competitive nature. Why would you want to be competitive if you're guaranteed a price and you're guaranteed to sell a certain amount?
Well, yes, that is indeed the problem. I mean, with the fisheries, it's slightly different because these are natural stocks. That we have known that they can become depleted, and so it is necessary to establish quotas because the natural tendency would be to take out of the water as much as you can, and then therefore deplete future stocks, and you end up harming the very possibility of making more money and continue to exploit the resource. But in the case of cows, for example, you, as long as you have lots of land, and there is lots of land in this country, you can have as many cows as the land could support. And so it's a more sort of artificial way to protect those who already have an in the market. So the people who already have cows and have quotas are doing really well. But if you have a cow and want to produce milk and sell it in the market, you have to purchase the right to do that by about $25,000 per bovine, right? So that essentially protects those that are already there and keeps other people out of the business.
Well, there's no question that it's a system that is foreign to most of us, and for most business people, the idea of this type of arrangement is something that they could only hope for.
That's right. The suggestion of Sylvain, which is that we need to reform the system, is something that Canadians need to pay close attention, both at the level of production and at the level of consumption, because consumers don't want to be left without milk or at the mercy of some other monopoly. But the reality is that the present situation, if, for example, the soon-to-be sworn-in president of the United States, Mr. Trump, were to challenge us on these protections of milk, if they, for example, decided that they were going to reopen NAFTA and not make any concessions, say, on vehicles produced in Canada unless we opened up the milk markets. Imagine that for a second. They would stop buying our minivans if we didn't open up the milk market. We would be necessarily forced to open up the milk market, and that would bring about a collapse. So there is need for a debate on this. There is need for more innovative reforms, and there is need for an articulation of a vision that is long-term and that is well thought out.
But again, I'll use my example of the maple syrup. The state of Vermont, which produces 890,000 gallons, you know, which is just only slightly more than Quebec, the Quebec maple syrup is known as the best in the world. So couldn't we then just try and appeal to our nationalist sense and say, well, yeah, you can buy milk from the United States, but here's Canadian milk by Canadian.
Yes, and you know that's absolutely the principle of competition in the market, and we have other principles from which to compete at the level of milk. For example, the production of our milk in Canada typically does not use any hormones. Whereas in other countries, and in some cases in the United States, they use growth hormones to incentivize the production in the animals. Now the health authorities have demonstrated that there is no harm caused by the presence of or hormones in the animals. But some people believe that it does. And so that becomes a competitive advantage for Canadian milk, for example, to say that it is hormone-free. Mm-hmm. And so we could set up a marketing strategy to position our milk in a different way and continue to sell it in just as good proportions, if not even more. If we open the market to theirs and they open their market to ours, we would then have access to a greater number of consumers who might be receptive to buying milk that doesn't have hormones in its production.
Marco Navarro-Gini, thank you for weighing in on the conversation this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
You
have a great day.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.